This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
And it is 7:21 on a Sunday morning. That means it's time for Hancock and Kelly. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Okay, let's start with the tariffs, because this is a big deal. 25% tariff across all cars the U.S. imports, set to take effect on April 3rd, not long after that. 25% tariff on most foreign-made car parts. And then the president is saying this will induce foreign automakers to come make their cars here. I'm going to start with you, John. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think tariffs are a ridiculously bad economic policy. We also have seen throughout the early part of the Trump administration, he's made tariff threats and then pulled them back. And I sort of hope that's what's going to happen here. But you know, there will be some manufacturing that will return to America because of this. But the nature of the auto industry right now is such that you're going to see pretty significant increases in the cost of automobiles. And, you know, when prices go up and people can't afford to buy things, then fewer of those things are sold. And when fewer of those things are sold, then you have fewer jobs in the auto industry. So the repercussions of these tariffs, if they actually go into effect, are going to be pretty bad for the economy.
Michael, your thoughts?
Well, and it was predictable too, Scott. You'll remember when NAFTA and GATT was being talked about, there were lots of people saying, hey, look, if we do this, we change the world order as it relates to manufacturing. And we made that decision. In fact, many of the people who are arguing we ought to go back were the leaders of these free trade agreements. So now we find ourselves in the global economy and we're trying to opt out of it. I just don't see how it works. While I appreciate the argument that it could bring back jobs, I think that boat left the port 10, 15 years ago. So here we find ourselves now with a president who promised us he was going to bring down the price of eggs and gas and everything else. And what is he doing? He's, in fact, inflating them.
I'm curious about the whole Elon Musk thing. I don't know. I can't remember a situation quite like this where you have somebody from the private sector who's so powerful and rich and owns such a powerful social media influencer, you know, being such a big part of the government. So I'm curious, I'll start with you, Michael. What do you think his influence has been, his impact might be going forward?
Yeah, it's like a Bond villain movie, isn't it? I mean, it's truly the world's richest man who's been brought in as an unelected third party by this administration to go and take a style of business, which can be effective in business, of just let's terminate everything. Let's put everything to a piling, smoking ash field and find out what was really necessary. And that's what Elon is doing. That's what he did at Twitter. I don't think it can work with government. And I think we're seeing it right now. The earthquake just happened over in Bangladesh, and the Americans are going to be the ones who don't respond. It will be the Chinese. So we're starting to already feel the impacts of what Elon Musk is up to.
he was unelected, Scott, and he has the livelihoods of so many Americans in his hand. I go back to the fact that I just don't remember President Trump talking about doing this in the election. What I do remember him talking about was bringing prices down, and that's not happening.
John, you have a different viewpoint on Elon?
Well, I have a historical viewpoint. He's not the first of his type. You may recall the name J.P. Morgan, who, after the stock market crash of 1907, he stepped in and actually bailed the country out of its economic turmoil. So perhaps Elon Musk might turn over some of his $40 billion or whatever and help the country. But, you know, this is an experiment, and we're going to see how it turns out.
Let's go local for a minute. The election for the mayor is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. I'm curious, Michael, I know you have worked a little bit with Kara Spencer's campaign, and Tashara Jones, obviously the incumbent, she, you know, feels a little bit better after the debate from a few weeks ago. But let's say that Kara Spencer wins the race. I mean, how confident are you that things are actually going to change in the city?
Well, I do anticipate that that it's likely that Kara Spencer could win the election. I also anticipate that it will be closer than it was in the primary. I mean, the mayor lost 2-1 in the primary. I don't think it will be that way in a binary choice. Look, whichever one of these individuals comes out of it has got a city that's on life support, if even that. You know, fortunately, for the last couple of years, this city has had federal funding and money. And boy, that's been the subject of a lot of the issues with the current administration. But it's really allowed the city to stay afloat at a time when it's losing revenue and losing population. So, Scott, I think you make an accurate point. I worry that anybody who gets in there, what they might be able to do in terms of making some change. But it's clear that change is going to be the motivation. And I think the biggest change we're going to see eventually may be change that's brought from someone other than the mayor. And that's a change in who controls the police department now that the state's put its the power of its authority behind it.
Just to follow up there, Michael, I mean, is this a structural issue with city government and how it works with the alder
people? I sure think so, Scott. Yeah. You know, I think this region for my entire life, the 50 years, has been discussing whether or not we're going to merge the city and the county. We're losing population. We're losing revenue. We're losing our competitive advantage. This is not a new conversation. And there are structural problems with the existing government in the city. It was established at a time when we were one of the largest cities in the world. That's not the case anymore. There needs to be a right sizing of government, and there needs to be a right sizing of political thought. And that is that government has to get back to doing the basics, like clearing the snow and picking up the trash. Because if you cannot do the basics, you cannot tackle a lot of the aspirational things that many on the left have been hopeful for, like ending poverty and stopping homelessness.
John, any final thoughts?
Yeah, my buddy's making sense, which is, you know, something to celebrate because it doesn't happen that
Sounds good. John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Thanks, guys.
Hey, buddy.